This is All Things Git, the podcast about Git. I'm Edward Thompson. Thanks for joining me for another episode. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you'll know that I like using Git from the command line. In fact, I sometimes get frustrated that the command line is too high level. And so I'll often write a little code in libgit2 or maybe some, PowerShell in libgit2 sharp to do stuff inside the Git repository. But let's face it, that's crazy. In reality, I think that most people use a mix of the command line and a graphical user interface on top of Git. And of course, some people don't want to use the command line at all. They just want to use a GUI tool. So that's what we're talking about in this episode. One graphical tool for Git in particular, the very popular Gitkraken. And joining me to talk about Gitkraken is Hamid Shojaei. Hamid is the founder of Axosoft. That's the company behind Gitkraken, the popular cross-platform Git client. His background is in software development, but he's also founded three software companies and is behind several successful software as a service products, including Axosoft, Gitkraken, and PureChat. Hello, Hamid. Welcome to All Things Git.
Hi, Ed. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. So earlier I mentioned that I'm really more of a command line guy when it comes to Git. And I think that part of the reason for that is that when I started using Git, there weren't really a lot of excellent GUI tools. You know, there was like Gitk, which is really just kind of a mashup of four different command line tools in a really ugly TickleTK application. So that's not ideal. So it was really clear to me back then that Git was going to need some good GUI tools if it was going to see really strong adoption. And I think that there's been a lot of neat stuff going on in the Git GUI space, especially within the last couple years. And one of those things is, for me, Gitkraken. The first I heard about it was like a bit over 2 years ago, but I assume things had been in development for a while before that. Can you kind of tell me how you decided to build Gitkraken?
Yeah, so Gitkraken came about as a 30-day project at Axosoft. And what these 30-day projects are is that after we do sort of major releases, we try to target one 30-day project per year. We have the dev team take 30 days off, basically, which is kind of crazy. It sounds kind of crazy. But we have them take 30 days off from working on their normal project and work on passion projects that allow them to learn new technologies and things that might be relevant to our development efforts. And a couple of our team members wanted to work on a new Git client that because, you know, there wasn't any great Git clients out there. And that's what they chose to work on. And there was actually six team members that jumped on that 30-day project. And in the 30 days, what they were able to accomplish is the demonstration of a GUI that that would be very likable by other developers. So we showed it to our own team and you know other people who were like, man, if this thing existed, I would use it. But they didn't get to a point where it was a usable product. And of course, they were so excited at the end of the 30-day project that they wanted to keep going. The two original people who had started the project had wanted to just keep going with it. And we gave them the sort of green light to continue working on it. And then it took them nearly a year to get sort of something usable out there. But then it sort of grew from there and we recognized the potential of it and we grew the team and really sort of made it the focus of the company in the past year and a half.
Wow. How do you balance giving people 30 days off to go hack on whatever they want? Does that totally interrupt everything or does that give everybody a nice reboot for going back to work on their normal day-to-day stuff?
It gives them a nice reboot. So if you think about like our industry is so freaking fast-paced. There's so many different technologies that you're supposed to learn and be on top of. And you're supposed to just do this somehow on your free time while you're sort of delivering on your project deadlines and everything, right? It's virtually impossible to do that. So, you know, my solution to that problem was that we'd have the whole dev team sort of take time off altogether and work on new from scratch projects that they could do using new technologies, ideally, so they're learning And then hopefully at the end of that, they have something that's usable and useful to themselves and hopefully other people as well. So over the past, you know, decade or so, we've probably released a dozen or more of these products that have come out of 30-day projects. Most of them sort of don't have enough meat for them to take off. But then some of them have. PureChat was actually a product that was one of those 30-day projects that took off, and we sort of spun it off into its own company. And GitKraken was one that its potential was shown during the 30-day project, and then we sort of took it on. But even the ones that sort of we throw away, but what comes out of those, which is majority of them, by the way, that we throw away at the end of it, what comes out of that is a huge learning opportunity where the developers are getting exposed to technologies they wouldn't otherwise get exposed to. And that's what's very exciting about it, is that they can then bring that back into their normal project and incorporate some of that knowledge into it.
Wow, that's very cool. So coming back a little bit to something you said earlier, you mentioned that when you showed off the demo after the first 30 days of GitKraken, everybody said that it was very likable. And I think that that's an interesting choice of words, because I think you've highlighted a real emotional appeal. And to me, GitKraken feels different. I don't mean bad different. It feels unique. Right. You know, you could have built a tool that looks like all the other version control tools that came before it, but GitKraken doesn't. It doesn't really feel like anything else. It has its own look and feel. How did that come about? What was the vision, I guess, if you will, for GitKraken?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the biggest thing was this focus on the graph, right? Like being able to demonstrate what's happening in your repository in a way that's easily understandable by people who are working on it was sort of like the critical factor. And in a command line environment, it's fairly easy to get things done, but it's not easy to sort of show what are the things that have gotten done. So you can't easily sort of navigate and go from commit to commit to see like what was done, what were the comments, and you know, like what were the files changed in a command line environment. Whereas that was the central focus, is that, hey, like that's a very useful thing to developers to be able to know what is going on with their repositories. And being able to visualize that became the central focus of the project. And that's really what has set it apart from most of the other tools out there.
Yeah, I think that for sure the easiest way to sort of imagine or visualize your repository is as a graph. But can you give me an example of something? Can I like, I don't know, could I click on a commit and drag and drop it somewhere? What happens
then?
Yeah,
absolutely. So you can do all kinds of drag and drop operations that command line level would require a ton of typing, right? So the key sort of factor that we keep in mind from a UI and user experience perspective is that our number one goal is to make developers more productive, right? If we can keep you focused on writing code rather than working in your Git repo, then we've reached our objective. Let's face it, anytime that you're not writing code, you're basically, that's the overhead of your project.
Right? That's right.
So that's the perspective that we have, is that, you know, we want your overhead to be minimized as much as possible. And, you know, like if we can do that by making it so that it's easy to do your commits and rebases and drag and drop to do your operations, Git operations, then we've done our job.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that we've said this before on this podcast. And in fact, we might've said it every episode, is that computers are supposed to make our lives easier, not the other way around. And sometimes I feel like we, as developer tools vendors, sometimes we fail at that. And we ship things that are, I don't know, glitzy for the sake of being glitzy and maybe too hard to use. So I'm really happy to hear you say that.
Yeah, it's definitely tempting to put things in there just because you can. But fortunately, we have a really good team of people who are very wary about making the product unnecessarily complex.
I love
it. It's actually a pleasure to work with people who say no a lot, even though sometimes it can be frustrating, but you want that from a product perspective and longevity of a product, because you don't want a product with 1,000 features. You want a product with the, you know, 50 to 100 features that you really care about done really well.
Yeah, I totally agree. There was when I worked at GitHub, there was a running joke about checkboxes. And you know, you can really easily just cram way too many checkboxes into your product, and then nobody can possibly use it. So I totally agree. I think you should be wary of every new feature you add and how you add it.
Basically, a checkbox is the easy solution to every argument that has ever existed in the dev in a dev meeting, right? Well, we could do it this way, but some people might prefer it this way. Oh, why don't we give them a choice? They can turn it on or off. And it seems like...
That's exactly right.
And it seems like giving people the choice is the way to go. But like, there's all this additional overhead that comes with each additional choice that people have that they now have to think about these choices. And then, you know, like when you multiply that by 10, it actually grows exponentially. You know, having 10 checkboxes doesn't make it 10 times more difficult. It might make it 100 times more difficult. So you have to like try to avoid that as much as possible. And it's difficult to do, you know, anytime there's a disagreement about which direction to go, a checkbox is an easy solution.
Yeah, it is. But not only do you increase the cognitive load on the user, you also increase your own development and testing load. You know, you've got all these code paths that probably don't get exercised unless 3 of the 10 checkboxes are checked.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
If you can be opinionated about the software you're building and you have good taste, then I think that that's the best way to do it. And I think that Gitkraken really does have good taste. You know, it's like kind of this slick tool.
Thank you.
We knocked Glitzy earlier, but Gitkraken is really
slick. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll take that compliment. That's very great to hear coming from you. That's what we've been shooting for, you know, and it's really nice to see that users are really resonating with it. And you know, of course, we monitor our social quite a bit, like on Twitter and Facebook and everything. And the feedback has been a lot of emotional attachment to the tool, which is wonderful to see. Like people describe it as like, I love it. Or, you know, like, where has this been? You know, this whole time I've been using it, or for the first time, I'm actually getting what's happening in my repository. And that kind of feedback is just absolutely amazing.
That is amazing. If you can help explain to people how Git works without having to explain how Git works, I think that's a real success. I mean, not for me. I actually spend a lot of time telling people how Git works, so you might be putting me out of a job.
But, I don't think so.
But no, I think that's great because Git is incredibly powerful. And when you understand the concepts behind how it works, you can leverage that and do some really incredible things. But until you do, you're just stuck like getting weird error messages, like you're in a detached head state and you're like, what's going on?
Right.
So that's tough. So that's really cool. And one of the unique things about Gitkraken is that you're not just building this, you know, like I said, really slick tool for one platform. It's that it's cross-platform because some of the more modern Git GUIs are Windows or Mac only. And some of them support both, but Gitkraken supports Windows, Mac, and Linux. I'm really curious about the technologies that you build on to be able to make that happen.
Yeah, that's a great question. So if you think about like software development today, it's all web-based, right? Like there's so much great tools that are being built for web-based development. Ideally, all desktop applications should be web-based applications, but until recently, you couldn't really do that. But tools like Electron have come along that allow you to build a web application that essentially gives you access to the file system, right? And those are the things that were sort of necessary to build a desktop application using web technologies. So Electron, by building an application on top of Electron, you get these sort of cross-platform capabilities nearly free. I mean, it's not free. You still have to do a bunch of work, but it's a lot closer to free than if you had to build it from scratch on each platform. And then you also get to use web-based technologies to actually build your interface and interactions and everything. So there's a lot of great tools that we have built Gitkraken on top of, including React and from all sorts of JavaScript frameworks that have made it a lot easier, both from the development perspective, but also for the end user's experience. And it's really nice to be able to sort of build it once and then run it on Linux and Windows and Mac exactly the same way.
Yeah, that's the dream. Yeah. So I'm not a GUI guy. I don't build GUIs. I build libraries. So Electron, correct me if I'm wrong. Electron is, it's the shell from Chrome and the renderer from Chrome that allows you to build a standalone application. So you can build a web app that runs locally. And so when you package up GitKraken, it's kind of a mix of the HTML and JavaScript that you've built running inside basically a Chrome browser, but as a standalone functionality. Is that roughly accurate?
That's exactly it. I mean, basically you're shipping a Chrome and Electron on top of that that gives you access to the file system. Which makes all of the file interactions of a desktop application possible. So, yeah.
Cool. So there's one thing you threw out there that I totally don't know, and that's React. I've heard a lot about React, but I don't actually know what it is. Can you give me the elevator pitch for React?
Yeah. So actually, I probably can't. But what I can tell you is that it's a open source library that Facebook is behind. I think it's in competition with things like Angular and Backbone, and it's in that realm. But because I'm not actively coding, I can't really tell you the details or what the differences are between React and some of the others. What I can tell you is that our dev team, who has experience with all of those technologies, is the most excited about React and what it can allow them to do, and the way the coding practices that it sort of ends up enforcing as a result of the way it's built. So it makes it easier to understand, cleaner, and easier to maintain. And then, of course, that gives you the additional longevity of the project to be able to not have to go back and constantly do legacy code rewrites, right? Where you're always accumulating technical debt. But with React, hopefully that technical debt is slightly less than it would be otherwise.
Everybody talks to me about React like it's this... It's really amazing. And I feel like it maybe, and I don't know anything at all about it. I'm not a web guy. I feel like it inverts like the control maybe, like instead of being very procedural, you decide how you are going to react to a state change or something.
Right.
And you could do that, but I don't really know. But
I think the gist of it is that the end result is a cleaner code that's easier to maintain. And I think that's what our developers love about it.
So Hamid, I'm going to pause for just one second to encourage our listeners to go to the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store, wherever you're listening to this podcast, and rate us. If you rate us and then you get in touch with your address, we'll send you some nifty stickers with our logo on it that you can put on your laptop or the bumper of your car, or hell, you can vandalize street signs. Okay, maybe don't actually vandalize street signs, but whatever else you want to do with them, rate us and then get in touch with us at All Things Git. Back to GitKraken. So what other sort of frameworks is GitKraken built on top of?
So we use Node.js. We use on the API side and server side, we use like Mongo for the database interactions. Or I'm not sure what else we use. Node, React, Redux, Electron. That's about the extent of my knowledge of the dev tools.
That's quite a stack.
Yeah.
So you said that there's a server side component. Why does GitKraken have a server?
Yeah. So we get that question all the time. So one of the ways that we're looking at it is from a long term perspective is that we can do all kinds of things that the cloud based servers can help enable because you're not working with Git in an isolated environment where you're the only developer. You're generally working in a team. And if we can do things that makes you and your team more productive, then that's the long-term direction of the product and of our vision for this product, which is something that we can talk about a little bit more. There's like features coming that are going to be all cloud-based that use these servers. But in the meantime, the servers also help enable the integrations with sites like GitHub.com, where you need an application ID, and you can't do it as easily for a desktop application because every application has to be registered. And so it goes through the server for those type of integrations to identify itself and exchange authentication. But in the future, and this is the stuff that sort of we're working on, you'll have project management capabilities, ability to sort of track items and assign items to other team members and things of that nature, just directly inside of your Gitkraken client, which are all being sort of enabled through the cloud, through the servers.
Interesting. So let me be a little bit naive about this for a second. Okay. Maybe I don't really trust you and your servers. And in fact, I think this is probably a realistic concern. Like I work at Microsoft. I probably don't necessarily want to store some of my data on your servers. How do you deal with that? Let's say, can I run my own Gitkraken server?
Yeah, so that's a great question because that comes up a lot. So the first thing that we tell people is that you're like, at least currently, there's none of your data other than your sort of username and password that you create an account with us that comes to our server. So we do have an account for you, but like your code, your source code and your repo never makes it to us. Like we don't know about it. None of that information comes back. But in the future, the capabilities that we're adding, for example, the project management stuff that you'll be able to create, like boards essentially and cards that represent issues or things you want to get done, all of that stuff are going to be in the on the server side. And they'll be easily assignable and you'll be able to collaborate with anyone basically who's using Gitkraken. If you're not wanting any of that information or even the account information to be stored on our side, then you can run your own servers. We call that the Gitkraken Enterprise Edition, essentially.
So I can run my own server.
Yeah, and you can do that today even for just the current capabilities that are there. And we get a lot of requests from larger companies like the Microsofts of the world that want that enterprise capability and wanting to have Gitkraken servers running in their own environments, and then they're completely shut off from the outside.
Yeah, I imagine that comes up a lot. I mean, certainly people ask us about that. You know, more and more people are moving to the cloud, but some people still, you know, they feel comfortable in their data center, which right. I can respect.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with all these data breaches that come out, you know, like I don't necessarily blame them, you know, like they want to have a little bit more control. And then in certain types of applications like security and like national security is involved, or there's like very sensitive trade secrets or whatever, that you can completely understand why they don't want any outside connections. And in fact, they oftentimes wall off their environment so that their developers can't reach the outside. So there's like all sorts of environments and requirements that come into play. But in all of those cases, the Gitkraken Enterprise Edition is what we recommend, and it works out great for them.
Okay, so you've actually got a couple of different subscription options. You mentioned Gitkraken Enterprise, but you've actually got like three levels, right? There's Gitkraken, there's Gitkraken Pro, and then there's Gitkraken Enterprise.
That's right.
I mean, now I understand what Gitkraken Enterprise is, but can you tell me the difference between Gitkraken and Gitkraken Pro?
Yeah, absolutely. So Gitkraken is intended for personal use, open source use, non-commercial use, as well as startups. Even if they want to use it commercially, we're okay with that. If they're a startup, like in their first year and like less than 20 people. But if you want to use Gitkraken commercially, you're supposed to use the Gitkraken Pro product. Now, the Pro product does add some additional capabilities, like the ability to work with like GitHub Enterprise, or you know, like if you have merge conflicts, we give you an editor right there. It gives you the opportunity to save profiles, so you can have a work profile and a personal profile, or maybe you can create different profiles for the different projects you're working on. There's some additional capabilities like that in Gitkraken Pro. And then Gitkraken Enterprise is essentially Gitkraken Pro, but for larger companies that want to self-host and run the server products on their own environment and control releases and how often they update and all of that sort of thing. Whereas updates on the other two just happen automatically.
I see.
So those are the sort of like big differences between the three editions.
So yeah, that's something I actually hadn't realized. I didn't realize that the merge editor was only available in Gitkraken Pro. The merge editor is really cool, actually. A lot of times, you know, version control tools will come out and they won't touch the merge aspects at all. If you merge two branches and you get some conflicts, you're going to have to fire up, I don't know, source gear diff merge or beyond compare or something.
Right.
So you actually have a merge tool built in to get Kraken.
That's right. And you can like edit code right there or choose like the A variation or the B variation with just a couple of clicks and make small edits in the editor if you want to right there. So all of that capability makes it super easy to deal with merge conflicts, which is nice.
That is nice because that's, I mean, that's one of the things we're trying to avoid more and more, right? That's part of the worst part about writing code is actually integrating it. And of course, you know, continuous integration and Git, especially the faster you can get your branches merged, the fewer conflicts you have, but it's still not gone.
Right, right.
When we used to work on either, you know, Visual Studio or Visual Studio Team Services, they were both, you know, in giant Team Foundation version control repositories, and we would have these long-lived feature branches. And we basically had somebody on staff whose job was to integrate them. You know, they would merge like people's like feature areas, he would merge them down into base branches. And then once that was done, merge them all back up. And I mean, it was, we called it merge hell because it was.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable how far we've come in Git. Hopefully we don't need the merge editor quite as often as we used to, but it's good to know that it's still there. But some people, you know, developers, they get attached to their tools.
Yeah.
If I do like source gear diff merge, can I still use that with Git Kraken?
Absolutely. You can define what your sort of preferred merge or diff editor is, or diff tool is rather. And we can fire it up from inside of Git Kraken with, you know, both variations already preloaded in your merge tool. So yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. I don't have to give up. It's true, actually. I've been using source gear diff merge for an incredibly long time. I used to work with all those guys, and so I'm still loyal to it.
Yeah, like Eric Sink and those guys.
Yeah, I used to work for Eric.
Oh, really? Oh, how funny! I don't know why. Like, I don't think I knew that.
Really?
You know, now that you say that, maybe he mentioned it to me at one time. But Eric is a great guy. I love him.
Oh, he is a great guy. Yeah. My other co-host, Martin Woodward, he couldn't make it today, but he and I used to work for Team Prize.
Oh, yeah.
Which was one of...
So you guys were part of that acquisition by Microsoft.
That's how we came to Microsoft. That's how a guy who doesn't know Windows at all, which is me, ended up at Microsoft.
Wow, what a small world. That's great.
It is.
Crazy.
It is.
I remember Eric talking about Team Prize. He and I are part of a very small sort of founder group that meets every so often. I remember the sort of whole investment in Team Prize and when Microsoft got interested in it, you know, like, we're sort of our support system for each other. So what a small world. It just like connected it all back to those conversations.
Yeah, it's totally true. Yeah, Eric is a great guy. And so is Corey, who is the other principal at that company.
Yeah.
And I learned so much by working with them and so much about version control and distributed version control. And it was really great. We've got to have him on at some point to talk about version control, because he literally wrote the book on it. He wrote Version Control by Example, which dives into a couple of different version control technologies.
He gave away like thousands of copies of that book too. It was great.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't think you can still get a physical copy from him because you're exactly right. He gave away for free physical copies. And I think he started like writing notes or maybe signing them in the beginning. And then his hand became, you know, you can't just do that over and over again. But I think that now you cannot get a physical copy, at least not for free from him. Maybe they're available on Amazon, but you can download the PDF, I think. So I'll link to it in the show notes.
That's awesome.
So I want to switch gears just a little bit. You know, you mentioned that you have a CEO support group and you are not like day-to-day writing code anymore. So I've actually got a question that kind of goes down that road. It's not really about product. One of the things that always impressed me about Git Kraken is the marketing and the imagery behind it. You know, we said that the product itself was very likable, but I think that the branding, if you will, is too. I don't know if you know this, but like around the 2015 timeframe, I thought about leaving Microsoft and getting some friends together and building a really cool Git GUI tool. And I didn't, of course. And as soon as I saw the marketing coming out of GitKraken, even before I saw the product itself, I was so glad that I hadn't done that because I realized that I had some like seriously tough competition. So how do you build marketing and branding that people like and that resonates with people?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you very much for those compliments. I think those comments got you at least a bunch more listeners, because now they're going to listen to this podcast as a result. I'm going to tell them, hey, you guys got some major props for the work you do. Yeah, so much of marketing has to do with just a creative side of things that, like, my brain doesn't have a lot of creative capabilities, I feel like, but it can spot creativity. It can, like, I can see the work of other people who are creative and be like, oh my God, that is amazing, and get attracted to it. Laudan, who is my wife and runs the Axosoft, put together, is the CEO of Axosoft. She is much more on the creative side. And we've been very fortunate to be able to put together an amazing marketing team that is super creative and has the freedom to experiment with different things and run with it. I mean, just today, they came out with a Gitmus video that is absolutely hilarious. It's like this sort of 3-minute poem, holiday poem that integrates Git and Slack and Netflix, and you know, it's just and all the sort of various different things that developers run into this song. And it's just like, how does one even come up with something like that? I'm always sort of blown away by their work. So yeah, thank you for the compliments. And like, I really personally have nothing to do with it other than spotting the talent and helping in that and the recruitment side of things.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, the night before Gitmus.
Yeah, did you see that? Or
yeah, it was awesome. We'll link to it in the show notes so that everybody can take a look.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's worth the 3 minutes, I think. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So part of that branding is actually your logo, maybe your mascot, if you will. If we talked about GitHub Universe on a previous episode, and one of the cool things about GitHub Universe was walking into the event space and seeing this giant Kraken.
Yeah.
But I actually found out at GitHub Universe that your mascot has a name. Is that right?
Yes. I don't even know who came up with it, but it was somebody on our marketing team named it Keef. So yeah, we went with it. And Keef, we don't know if it's a he or a she. So we refer to Keef as Keef, basically.
Cool.
And Keef has a personality, and Keef can answer technical questions, and you know, we have a Slack community for our GitKraken users, and Keef is all over the Slack community responding to people's questions and announcing things and doing all kinds of cool stuff. And we sort of run with it. And every release, with every release, Keef also gets various different costume, whether it's a professor, because we're launching, you know, like GitKraken Pro free for students as part of the GitHub student pack, or if it's like because we've improved the speeds, he gets a jetpack, or you know, like every release, Keef is a sort of a new character, if you will, and that's all part of the marketing team doing their thing. They do an amazing job there.
That's awesome. I forgot that you were part of the GitHub student pack. How do you like that? How has that gone for you? Do you feel like you're getting in front of students and that they're getting value out of it in their universities?
Oh, absolutely. Like the student user group is probably like one of the faster growing groups, because professors are now making it a sort of standard. It's much easier to focus on their classwork if they don't have to also learn Git, or if it's a lot easier for them to learn Git. So they just make it a standard to where like everyone in the class has to go download GitKraken and get it up and running. So they have the professors have found that that makes their class much easier for the students, and the students love it. I mean, we get feedback that summarizes what I just said constantly from both students and professors who love it. And the fact that they get the pro version for free as students is also like another sort of huge plus as part of the GitHub student pack. So we think that that's a great way to introduce people to the tool. And then as they go out in the workforce, you know, they're going to take our tool into the commercial environment and will still benefit from it in the long run.
Wow, that's cool. So they get the pro version, in fact. So they can set up one profile for their schoolwork. They can set up another profile to hack on open source, or I don't know, you know, maybe they're deciding to spin up their own little startup company, you know, in their copious free time, I'm sure.
But absolutely.
But that's awesome. So in your bio, we mentioned AxoSoft, we mentioned GitKraken, we mentioned PureChat. It feels kind of like you're the sort of person that doesn't really sit still. So is there anything new that you're working on?
So I may have mentioned before that there's the sort of server side of things project management capabilities coming out with GitKraken. And that's probably like been a big part of my focus in the past several months. And we call that project, by the way, GitKraken Glow. So you're going to have the ability to have glow boards and glowing cards and be able to manage your sort of projects much easier from inside of your environments. Whether you're using GitKraken, glow boards will be right there, or Visual Studio Code. Glow boards will be inside of Visual Studio Code as a plugin. They'll be inside of Atom, that editor. So you'll be able to have access to your sort of boards wherever you are, or as a standalone web application for people who don't use, who are not developers. But the focus of our tool is for developers, and we wanted to make it easier for them to sync with their GitHub issues or do things that developers need to do. So the focus is on them, essentially. And that's sort of like the next major thing that's coming out of our team.
That's cool. And that's GitKraken Glow, G-L-O, is
that
right?
That's right. And we have a little teaser video at gitkraken.com/glow. That just basically teases it with a
cool
little parody.
Awesome. We'll be sure to have you back on when GitKraken Glow launches for real to talk more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love that.
So thanks, Amit, for joining me. If you're interested in GitKraken, you can find out more at their website. It's gitkraken.com. That's GitKraken.com. And you can find them on Twitter, on YouTube, and on Facebook at GitKraken. Again, that's GitKraken. It's Kraken like the mythical Norse sea monster, or as I think of it now, Keith.
As Keith, yeah. Thanks, Ed.
And remember, you can find us on Twitter and on Facebook. We're at All Things Git. And me, I'm Edward Thompson. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at ethompson. That's ethomson. Thanks again for listening. And thanks again, Hamid, for joining me.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.